Let's just pray and then go to the Lord and we'll get into this. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word. Thank you, Father, for all the people that came out tonight. Lord, that you have something special for them. We ask you to just ignite the hearts, Lord, and I just receive from you the anointing to teach, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that I won't veer to the right or the left, but do exactly what you want me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about the word believe tonight, and we're going to get into quite a bit of detail tonight. So it's an area that believe is an action word. It emphasizes that there's action that you need to take in order to get to that point of having a belief. You got to remember that you've got to believe before you receive. So it's a critical first step in this. Now, in the New Testament, the word believe is in there over 200 times. And so it's a pretty, almost hitting every Bible of the book, that it's hitting continuously in it. And it happens to be the same word that's used each time in the Greek, which is unusual, but it makes it easier to really pin it down what it really means. So let's start with one scripture here. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now this is not just a wish. This is what God desires for you. And one thing about believing, the more you get to believing His word and believing His promises, the more that joy and peace just begins to build up in you, that you really get into a position of rest. Now, you know, there'll be days of battle and there'll be things that are going on, but you just know that you know you're on the right track. And so he says that you may abound in hope. That word abound means to bubble over, to overflow. So it's not just a little bit of hope. It's a big time hope. I mean, it's just bubbling out of you. And so you can't even hold it in when you're believing. And so that word hope, again, is expectation. So there's joy and peace in believing. I'm a mathematician, and I like to use formulas sometimes to break things down just to kind of make it real clear to me in terms of what faith is. And when I was looking at it one day, I saw this, I said, faith is equal to believing plus saying plus acting on that. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that you believe something so much that it's coming out of your mouth. And it's coming out of your mouth, and you're starting to take action on bringing that promise to pass. So you're actually moving towards. So there's a thing that goes on, and when you get to that point, now you're feeling joy. Now you're feeling peace. Now you know you're on the right track. See, that's the track of believing that you have. Now there's six definitions of belief, but there's some common threads in all six of those. The first one is to place a reliance or be full of joyful trust. So something that you rely on, something that you trust in joyfully. Second one is to have a firm persuasion as approaching certainty. So it's something that you really are persuaded about. You just feel like it's really true. It's a state of being convinced. Can't move you off center at all. It's a state that you're just convinced. It's to trust and place full confidence in. So not only are you convinced, you're confident with this. You really are centering in on it. It's to also, you know, Pastor Mark talked about resting. It's to rest in our faith, that we get to the point that we just know that we know that we have this. And so the sixth one is to expect or hope with confidence. Now there's some common themes in that, and one is that we're relying on this. We're trusting Him for this, but we're firmly persuaded. You'll see these words kind of show up in the scriptures everywhere, even when it doesn't even use the word believe. You're convinced of this. You're full confidence that this is really true, and you're acting on it. You're starting to say it. You're starting to act on it, move on it. And so to you, it becomes real. Before it ever even happens. See, that's when you know you're believing. All right, let's go to one scripture here. Romans 4, verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was credited to him as righteousness. You see the word fully convinced. He got to the point of being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Boy, that's a critical phrase right there. Now, it says before that he was strengthened in faith. That indicates that there was a progression there. There's a journey that and this is Abraham in particular, that he went on to where he started out. When he started out, he was not fully convinced. I won't get into details of the story, but you can read it back in Genesis chapter 12. Not totally, but as he went on and had experiences with God, he became more and more convinced to the point to where he became fully convinced. See, believing is a journey. Believing is a progression. It's something that you may start out. I may look at something and I go, well, I want to believe that. I say I believe it, but I want to believe it, you know, but I'm grappling with it, you know, and so I'm looking at things, just trying to grab a hold of it. That happened to me the first time I ever heard somebody preach on prosperity. I had never heard that even existed. I was raised Catholic. We just never talked about it. You know, the only thing we ever did was give our money away. But when somebody preached on it, I thought, I would like for that to be true, but I'm just not really sure. I want that to happen. See, I was grappling with it. Well, you start working it. You start getting into it. You start looking at different things. You start looking at other things and hearing things and just starting to go and progress. It's a progression, and it starts building as you go. Amen? So it's something that you want to do where you're fully convinced. Now, there's three necessary elements to believing. And this has to do with with God himself. One is the integrity and faithfulness of the one promising. You have to look at the person that's promising and say, do they have a track record of delivering what they promised? I mean, if you're struggling with that, you've got to really deal with that and get really to the point. And it's okay, God has heard this before, you know. So you can just say, throw it up to him, say, help me here. I need to know that you have high integrity. I need to know that you are very faithful to what you say. You know, he will work with you. Second is capability and resources to perform what is promised. I mean, this is the God is able question. And so I've never met anybody that said, well, God's not able to do that. I mean, usually everybody says, yeah, he's able to do it. I don't know, yeah, like that. But that's God is able. The third one is willingness to deliver what was promised. And this is one where people struggle. Yeah, I hear the promise. Yes, it's there. But will he do it for me? And you have to really center. The reason I'm saying this is you have to center in on these things and start looking at them and examining where you are in life and dealing with them and saying, if you're not really sure that you're in that solid relationship with the Lord, then you need to look at scriptures about how much he loves you and what he wants to do for you. Amen? So don't just stay that way, just move there. Now there's four scriptural examples of this. One is in Matthew 9, verse 27. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him and said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Boy, what a question. Man, that's always a good question to ask yourself. You know, if you're believing God for something, and you know, it's always something to ask yourself, not beat yourself up about it, but say, do I really believe he is able to do this? You know, if not, you keep working it. You keep going over the promises, and we'll talk about that as you go. And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open. So that's always looking at, is God able to do this? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is." Then that means He's, you know, He is what? He's the answer, He's the source, He is my healer, He's my health, He's my deliverer, He's my air that I breathe, He's everything. See, you have to really put that in there and say, yeah, He is that. If you need hope, He is hope. If you need goodness, He is goodness. You know, whatever you need, that's what He is. And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, Jesus talked about, He said that those that you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Part of seeking the kingdom and seeking the ways of the kingdom is that you are seeking God, and He is looking to reward you for that. He is a rewarder. Amen. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek. You're not wasting your time going through the scriptures looking at how the kingdom works. He will help you. He will instruct you. And so He wants you to know. He wants you to have it. He wants you, the track you're on, He wants you to get there. And so you have to seek Him and seek it out. And as you do that, He's going to start rewarding you and bringing things upon you. Now, it says in Hebrews 11:11, "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child, and when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." That word faithful, she judged him as being able to do what he said he was going to do. Amen? Amen. And so we always have to come to that and say, and really work on this to get to that point. One more scripture, Hebrews 11:17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed will be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead." Now, this was in Abraham's latter years. He had many experiences with God at this point. And he had become so confident of God. See, God gave him a promise that his son Isaac, he would bless the nations through his son Isaac. And so he was the promised child. And so now he's telling him to go sacrifice on the altar. And, you know, it doesn't make sense, but in the movies, he didn't cry, okay? He didn't. Because it says here he concluded that, well, if that's what he wants me to do, he'll just raise him from the dead, because he still said through him that the blessings are going to flow. Amen? And so he's centered right up in him, right on God's promise, because God doesn't change his mind. He's not good one day, bad next day. You're not in trouble one day and just okay the next day. So he loves you no matter what. Now, we are a three-part being. And first of all, I'm assuming everybody here is born again, but if you're not, this won't apply to you. But we have a born-again spirit. And in that spirit is the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, everything that God has laid up for you, and with all life and godliness, He's laid it up and stored it up here. It's all there. The wisdom is there, the knowledge to carry it out. Everything you need to achieve what you need in this life, He has put that on the inside of you. That's where your faith is. And so that's, everyone has that's born again. The soul is the mind, will, and emotions. And sometimes the soul is referred to as the heart. The heart is not the organ, the heart. The heart is your inner thoughts, your inner beliefs, your inner desires. It's what makes you, you. Okay? And so it's an area that's of critical importance. Proverbs 4:23 in the New Living says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Well, that's critical. So out of your heart flows the course of your life. And so it's an area that we have to really pay attention to and go to work on, and we'll get into an example here on that one. And the third area is your physical body, which is your organs, glands, systems, all your physical body. Now, the pie chart is one that, you know, It says they're all equal, but not necessarily. Each person is different. Some people have a small spirit, meaning they don't spend a lot of time in the Word. Some people, their mind and will and emotions dominate their life. And so however they feel on any given day is how it is. And so, you know, that you, and some people, their body just dominates them. And so you hear about every pain and ache that they have and so forth. So you can listen to people pretty quickly and pick up what is in control. Amen. So, yes. So, but it's the heart that determines the course of our life. And so, because that's what the case is, we're going to look at three gateways into the heart. Because what we're going to talk about here is how we change the course of our life to line up with what God wants us to do. And so we really want you to really drive into that and get to the point of believing that. There's three gateways to the heart, and it's what we see, it's what we hear, and it's what we think. And so those are all feeding into our heart. You know, the thought life is one of those things that it's kind of independent. You know, your thoughts can just randomly go. I don't know about you, but mine do sometimes. And so it's an area we have to really focus on as well. Now, the next slide is a process. And if I had children in here, I would just put up a picture of, you know, somebody orbiting around the moon without a spacesuit and landing on the moon without any equipment or anything, you know. And the children would just go, I can do that. Yeah? See, I have a 5-year-old grandson that says he's going to be president, and I'm going, there. Go for it. Yeah, you know. And so it would be a different slide, because they don't have a lot of clutter and a lot of things and a lot of experiences in life that's holding them back. Now, but we, on the other hand, on the left-hand side, we have beliefs. We have life's experiences. We have our learning. That is all the soulish realm of our being. And so depending upon, there's areas in there where you look at things and you make decisions based upon the information that's in there, and that's really driving the course of your life. And so you're sitting in church on Sunday morning and Pastor Mark puts up a scripture and it just kind of throttles you a little bit, and you're going, man, I don't know if that's true or not, what he just put up there. So you know you're grappling with it, you know, but you got a choice at this point. You can take note of it and write it down and go, okay, I need to go check this out. Or you can just blow it off and go back to your way that you're going and follow the same course that you were on before. So there's always a choice in here. But if you choose to take that and put it in your heart and just begin to change your life, you really start going on to a road of working the Word. Working the Word is just, you're going over it a lot. See, you have however many years of experience you have on earth is how many different beliefs you probably got in your system. And if we never deal with that, that will literally control our life. And we will be saved, meaning we'll be going to heaven, but we will just be kind of whatever it is we think. If you're mad all the time, you're going to be mad for the rest of your life. And so this is where you have to really deal with it and change those things. And so we start working the Word. Now, as we work the Word, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Yeah. He helps us every step of the way. He'll bring scriptures up to you that you hadn't even thought about. Yeah. Amen. He does that to me all the time. I go, man, I didn't even see that little phrase right there. You know, and so He will work with you. See, that's part of His job, is to get you to the point where you're fully convinced and fully persuaded. And so, depending upon how much clutter you have in your heart, it's a function of how long it will take to get on the right track, because you're just banging at it. I'm saying barraging it with the Word of God. You're barraging yourself You think, well, nothing's happening. Well, yeah, things are happening. You just can't see it yet, okay? You know, but your views are changing. And all of a sudden, your tastes start changing. All of a sudden you stop going to things you were going to before, you know. It's just things you just start getting an indication. And, you know, 5 years down the road, you look back and go, wow, I'm a different person than I was back then. See, wow, that happened. That happened by working the word. You're causing that change to come in there. You're changing the content of your heart and lining it up with that. When you get your heart and your spirit lined up, there really is no resistance at that point in time. And that'll positively impact your body, positively impact your life right there. I mean, and so you're really working to change what you think. Although how many, you know, if we got into what people think, everybody would have different beliefs about everything. But when you look at the Word of God and what it says, you have to decide that that's truth, and then you have to start dealing with that to change your heart, to change your soul, and really take that in and make it part of your belief system. Now that's where the power comes into, because now you've got two-thirds of your system in agreement with God. Two-thirds always wins. Amen. So we're going to deal with those three gateways here as we go through this and talk about a journey to believe. And the first thing is really choose to commit to God's promises. That's a big choice. You may not understand everything about it, but when you're reading something, and I use it when God startles me with something or wakes me up with something, I go, I better pay attention to that. Here's something here. You know, he wants me to understand. And so you just really want to always pay attention to that and look at it. But you have to choose to do that. If you choose not to, then you've passed up an opportunity to change the course of your life. The other thing is you got to look for opportunities of time throughout the day to convert to focus time on God's promises. If I asked everybody in here if they had any spare time, the answer would be no. Yeah, I already know that. And you know, so but we have to look at how we're spending our day and really say, where's the available time? There's available time there. You might be sleeping during it, but there's available time there. always look at that. So the first gateway we're going to deal with is putting His promises in front of your eyes every chance you can. Every chance you can. Not when you're driving, okay? But in your quiet time, it always helps me sometimes to read out loud, because my mind gets going on stuff and I'm planning my day and things like that, and I'm doing my reading, and you know, I can go through the whole reading for the day and not remember anything, okay? And so I have, you know, when my mind just wants to wander off and think about this and that, I don't know if anybody else in here has this problem, but yeah, you know, I have to start reading the Bible out loud, you know? And so it's okay. Why? Because makes my mind focus, and it makes my eyes focus, and now I'm picking it up in my ears too, so now I've got another gateway working for me. And so you have to really, don't just say, oh, I did my lesson for the day and put in my time and I'm gone now. No, take that time and really discipline yourself to really put your eyes upon it. You don't just do it out of memory, because sometimes I'll just speak scriptures out of memory. And that's okay, that's better than not, but put your eye, there's something about putting your eyes on it, that there's power coming from that. Proverbs 4:21 says, don't let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your hearts. And in Proverbs 7 it says, write them on the tablet of your heart. Well, you write them on the tablet of your heart by putting your eyes on them. So put your promises on your phone. Most of us have phones that we carry around, so just put them on in there, you know, and when you've got some time, pull it out and look at it. It's better than watching a movie on a plane. So while a game is going on, sometimes I'm kidnapped to grandkids' games, and so I really don't care about soccer. It's probably the second most boring sport to golf, okay? But, you know, I go. And, you know, if I got my phone with me, I'm looking at scriptures while they're playing, and then she tells me when it's time to go. Or, you know, or I just start thinking about the scriptures, you know, and thinking like that, and then she tells me it's time to go. So, you know, it works out pretty good because I come away feeling revived and all fired up, and kids don't know that I'm not really paying attention to what they're doing anyway. When you're in the bathroom, they took a survey on people in the bathroom, and a lot of people text in the bathroom, or a lot of people, it's amazing what people will, you know, admit to on surveys, or they get on Facebook and all that. Well, just use that time to pull your phone up and look at the Word. You know, you got it on there, just use it. And so you're looking for those kind of opportunities, and you never know, God may have some big revelation for you right there, and you may sit there for a while. So put His promises in front of your eyes every chance you get. The second gateway is put His promises in your ears every chance you get. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, you know, these punctuation things are put in there by the translator, so I just take that comma out. Faith comes by hearing, and 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 hearing of the Word. Amen. It's. I don't care if you've heard it hundreds of times. Play it again. Go over it again. Yeah, because there's life there. There's change there. There's impact there. And so you just go over it again and again. I've listened to things so many times, and then there was just something I had never heard before come out one time. I was like, wow, was that in there all the time? I didn't even know. You know, and that was a life-changing thing. So you're hearing it all the time, just hearing and hearing and hearing. Convert your drive time into word time. When I changed from listening from talk radio to listening to the Word, it made a huge difference in my attitude toward everybody on the road. And it also made a huge difference in terms of when I came home or when I got to the office. So it just makes a big difference to do that. So if you're driving and you're just listening to all this stuff or all this background noise and all this other things, turn that off and put Pastor Mark on and let him go for it. He'll bring you peace. And so that's a good one to have. So convert screen time into word time. If you're a binge watcher on TV, and you know, and you're watching 500 Andy Griffin movies or something like that, you know, try to convert some of that time to just, hey, I need to pay attention to the Word here, and just really get into it and make that decision to just move on and into there. So you look for opportunities to do that while exercising. So watch the music you listen to. I like rock and roll music, and so to me, if it has a beat, and I like it. But I have to really, even on Christian stations, I have to really watch what I listen to, because some of them are just so full of unbelief that it's just amazing. So I listen to it, and it's always the ones that really sound like I really like them, and then all of a sudden the words are like, I'm down and out, and I'm in the dumps, and I'm, you know, and I'm like this, and I'm like, I don't need to hear that, you know. You know, God, please bail me out, you know. So, you know, no matter how much you like it, if there's a lot of unbelief in what's being said, that's going into you, and it's shortchanging a lot of things that you're doing. Amen. And so when you need it, that'll be the song you'll remember, and that's not going to be life-giving to you. Okay. All right, the third gateway to believing is disciplining your mind to think and meditate on His promises. And Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And then Romans 8, 6 says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is what you talk about when you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you're constantly being changed as you take the word in, even though you don't really realize what's going on. So you meditate on the scriptures to focus your mind. And I talked about reading the word out loud to make your mind pay attention. You rest your mind when it's thinking ungodly thoughts. I mean, I've got an imagination that has been well trained over the years, and so I have to really watch where it goes. Okay. And so sometimes you just gotta go, I'm out. We're not going down that trail anymore, and we're gonna think on this. So you have to really arrest your thoughts, rest your mind, and say, I'm gonna focus on this. And you may have to say the word out loud just to get your mind focused on it. But you just do what you gotta do to get your mind focused on it. And you're the one in control of your mind. So also in a boring meeting, what a great time to think on the word. Anybody ever been in a meeting that you just thought would never end? I mean, yeah, it's like, man. So it's, rather than just sitting there and thinking how much boring can this get and how long can they possibly talk about this subject, you can switch your mind over and just say, well, I'm going to meditate on the scripture. See, nobody knows what you're thinking about. You're just sitting there smiling. So it's a great thing. So you just do it like that and hope they don't call on you. All right. So, but you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so transformation is something that takes place over time. I wish there was a zap, the way we just get zapped and all of a sudden we were just 100% believing. But we're working through the clutter, working through the things in our life. Romans 4:16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those that are of the law, but also to those that are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So that the promise might be sure. Translations of that word sure is that the promise might be guaranteed. God has guaranteed you the promises. He says in His Word that all the promises of God are yes to you, and the amen is spoken by us. See, they're all there. And so because it's guaranteed, the Holy Spirit has been put in our hearts as a guarantee of what is yet to come. And so that's part of that is just the fulfillment that the promises of God have. And so there have been so many guarantees in the Scripture that it is sure. Don't you like to be going for sure things? Yeah. I mean, man, I like sure things, like that. And so when you're looking at the promises of God, it's guaranteed. He's put the Holy Ghost in you to guarantee them. But you have to believe. You have to first take that step to believe. So that just kind of leaves us with the last. It's really talking again about faith is believing so much that you begin to say it. It just comes out of you because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then as you say it, you start acting on it and getting ready to receive that. And now you start feeling joy, peace, you start feeling elation. And you really start believing that this has already come to pass. See, that's believing that you receive it. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Your Word is so sure. You are so high in integrity. We thank You, Lord, and praise You, Father, that when we look at Your Word, that it just jump off the pages to each one of us and everything that we do. And Lord, that we just focus and pay attention on Your Word and give proper regard to You, that the things we're reading, You really want to do for each one of us, Lord. For all of us, for people who are struggling with, will they want to do it for me, Lord? Help them to just overcome that. Help them to get to the point of knowing how much You love them and how much You have regard for them. And we thank You, Lord, for it. Thank You, Father, that we do believe Your word in Jesus' name. Amen.